Year-end polls in the last couple of weeks have all reported that the rising cost of health care is among Americans' biggest worries. Insurance coverage for prescription drugs has been decreasing as their prices have been increasing. As PBS Wisconsin's Marissa Wojcik learned, not all health plans are created equal.
Cole Schmitnick was just 22 years old when he was rushed to the ER by his roommate, unable to breathe.
When he arrived at the hospital, he was lifeless. Yeah, no pulse. They had to resuscitate him.
By the time his parents, Bill and Shannon Schmitnick, got to Cole's bedside, doctors had shattering news.
Well, we got told, just simply that he would never wake up.
What we saw laying in the hospital of our son was all that he would ever be.
Cole had suffered a devastating asthma attack. For his parents, the cause of death only added to their stunned disbelief.
He was on a great medication that stabilized his asthma for the past decade or more. So we were like, this cannot be like an asthma.
As they tried to piece together Cole's final hours, his roommate remembered that Cole did go to the pharmacy days before he died.
His roommate had said, I don't know, we tried to get it a few days ago and he couldn't afford it. It was like $500.
That price shocked Cole's parents since his copay had always been less than $70. But what they didn't realize was that a recent shift in how his company provided health coverage would cause, without any notice, the out-of-pocket price of the inhaler he needed to skyrocket 800%, well beyond his budget. What was the shift? His employer had moved from traditional health insurance to a form of coverage known as a self-funded health plan. Millions of Americans get their coverage this way, but health advocates say patient confusion and ignorance about the subtle differences between these two types of coverage can have devastating impacts for patients like Cole.
He loved to play.
I will never forget that, leaving that pharmacy and being like, oh my God. This is what happened to Cole.
Play, silly.
It just gets old after a while.
Kevin Voltz ran into similar problems with his self-funded health plan. In his case, he was battling chronic lymphocytic leukemia, a type of blood cancer.
All of a sudden, my numbers were at like 167,000 compared to like 4,000 or 5,000.
He was in urgent need of treatment. His oncologist had a prescription that was promising, but would come at a price.
We need $13,000 before we could ship this. And I said, $13,000? Yes, that's what this drug costs to be delivered without insurance.
$13,000 per month. Kevin's self-funded health plan wouldn't cover a dime of the medication, calling it a non-preferred specialty drug, which meant he was on the hook for 100% of the cost, nearly $100,000.
Nobody can do that. I don't care who you are.
His medical care team sent appeal after appeal, pleading with his health plan to cover some portion of his medicine.
I got lots of denial letters and stuff over the months saying that there was nothing they could do, and I'm running low on my month's supply, and what am I going to do next month?
Traditional, fully insured health plans are supposed to ease those kinds of fears. They must follow all federal and state laws, including notifying patients of changes to their prescription coverage and limiting how much a patient can be forced to shoulder out of pocket. By contrast, self-funded health plans like Cole Schmitnick's and Kevin Voltz's are regulated only under federal law, not state insurance laws, which are usually more stringent.
A self-funded plan is not insurance.
Sarah Davis is the director of the Center for Patient Partnerships, a research and advocacy program at the University of Wisconsin-Madison. She says it's often difficult for people to even know what kind of plan they have.
It takes advocates and patients sometimes quite a bit of time to parse out and figure out that it is not insurance. If there are claims being denied, the protections that that consumer has are reduced in self-funded plans.
In recent years, these self-funded plans have become the most predominant form of employer-provided health coverage in the United States. Some 63% of plans are self-funded. Why the growth? As healthcare costs rise, these plans save employers money by offering greater cost control and flexibility compared to traditional insurance.
Self-funding lets the employer take control of the second or third biggest line item on their budget. The last few years, that's been a double-digit increase.
Mike Roche is the director of business development at the Alliance, a Wisconsin organization that helps design self-funded health plans for companies across the Midwest.
What employees need to know is that your employer has now become the insurance company.
After exhausting nearly every possible avenue to pay for his cancer medicine, Kevin Voltz received good news from his clinic's drug insurance specialist.
She kept calling me and calling me and calling me. She couldn't tell me the news fast enough that they had come through.
The drug manufacturer informed the clinic they would provide the remaining dosage of his treatment at no cost, but did not provide an explanation.
Please don't let another parent stand where we are today.
1 year after their son's passing, Bill and Shannon Schmidneck are still searching for answers and advocating for change.
The fact that someone has to pass away because he can't afford his medication in the United States of America is unacceptable.
The ultimate thing, no matter what happens, it was totally preventable. Right. I mean, like, it was preventable.
This cannot happen. This cannot happen to another family.
For PBS News Weekend, I'm Marissa Wojcik in Madison, Wisconsin.